Back in the days when I worked for an oil company, we used to study disasters. And the reason we studied disasters is to prevent them from happening. The worst disaster that happened in North Sea oil production happened in an oil platform called Piper Alpha. 167 men died. Only 60 lived. Everything went wrong. There was a pump that was taken down for maintenance, and the guy that was working on it couldn't finish it. And there was another pump working, so he sent the word that under no circumstance should this pump be turned on, but the word did not go to the right place. A minor emergency came up. They tried to figure out why the pump was offline. They put the pump on, and it exploded. Well, it was a gas pump, and there was a firewall to protect people in the platform, but the firewall was made when the platform just produced oil. It wasn't blast-proof for gas, so the firewall failed. And the surrounding platforms that could see the oil and gas coming into it could see that the platform was in distress, the fire going on, but they couldn't get clearance from their managers to turn off the production that was coming into it. Everything went wrong. But there was a chance survivor, and his story struck me and taught me why I really needed to care. So like many of the people on the platform, they went the wrong way into this hell. Instead of trying to escape, which was questionable whether it would happen or not, they went to the galley where they ate lunch and dinner and breakfast together and shared stories. And they asked this chance survivor, and there were so many that perished there, why did you go to the galley? And he said, I did not want to die alone. We all need to be loved. I was at a management meeting. They were training us to be good management managers, how to get the most out of our people. And the purpose of a manager is to get the most out of their people. That's what they're managing. So I had all this training, and then they get us around a circle in the end. And they just said, after you retire, what do you want people, your reports, to say about you? And as they went around talking to my various colleagues, they gave these absolutely beautiful stories of how they had developed their people and how they have done things for their people. They were doing what God wanted them to do. What they were doing was loving their people. And they were loving their people to be loved, to have them say good things about them after they retired. Well, when it got to me, I'm a little different. So they gave the 99% answer, great answer. I started that 1% answer that's just a little bit different, not as good, but it's important. I said, hey, there's many good people that don't like me, and they don't like me for circumstances, and they don't like me for cause. And it's not that I care about them less. Quite often, especially given the time I spend with them, I care about them a lot more. And so what they say after I retire, they will say after I retire. Christ saved his enemies. He didn't save his friends. We were slaves to sin, and that didn't matter. And we became his friends by accepting salvation, accepting that pure gift of love. And Christ knew that everyone would not accept that pure gift of love. Yes, we work to destroy our enemies by making them our friends, but that's not always going to happen. We can't tinge love with selfishness. So the second reading that we've been doing for many Sundays has been coming from 1 Corinthians. It's a very beautiful part of the Bible. So in it, Paul talks about that all of us have gifts from the Holy Spirit. And then he talks about that we're all members of the body of Christ, and we have to use those gifts for each other to build up the church. That when one of us hurts, we all hurt. When one of us has joy, we all have joy. And today, he talks about that first physical Adam that we are all descended from, and descended from in sin, and the spiritual Adam, who is Christ. But there is something also very beautiful that we all hearken to, and that's what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. And so as a couple, and when I work as couples, I put myself into it. I ask the couple to put themselves into it. Tom is patient. Diane is kind. Or we put Jesus into it. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. But one of those descriptions of love is this. Love does not seek its own interest. Maybe for us, it's an aspiration. Tom does not seek his own interest. Diane does not seek her own interest. But we know that Jesus does not seek his own interest. We should seek to measure by which Jesus did, by which Jesus loved. The measure by which you measure, we are measured. And so we are called to love as Christ did. I did retire. I don't know what they say about me when I go. But I often come back, like that guy in the platform, to the galley. I go out with them for lunch. Because like all of us, we still care. Now, how do we get to that path of loving our enemy? I think St. Francis got there. And I think the prayer of St. Francis is just a beautiful way to close this homily. So Rebecca's going to come over and help. Rebecca teaches music to children. And her minor is in theology. And so her goal is to teach God through music to children. So she's going to help us here today so that we can learn how to love our enemy.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. In giving of ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life.